It's a very serious issue. And even in winter, we're told consistently that the issue of sunscreen is important. I must remember, actually, to apply my moisturiser every morning. There's days when I neglect to do it, you know, and the skin feels a bit flaky and stuff like that. I wonder, do you? Katie, Claire, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
Katie, stop laughing at me now, just because I put on my moisturiser, you know? I have to protect myself with that factor of 50, given the way the climate is going in relation to that. Now, Katie Clare didn't come on here to talk about moisturiser. She's head of the Revenue's local property tax branch. And a very good morning, Happy New Year to you, Katie. And I think that's the first time I ever said that to somebody from the Revenue. But you're very, very welcome on the programme. Now, property tax and deadlines and all of that. We're told, I see in a recent article by Charlie Weston, that hundreds of thousands of homeowners, he uses the word, have defied the Revenue by failing to provide a new property tax valuation for their homes. I wonder, Katie, if that's just defied or have neglected to. But anyway, either way, what's the situation?
Okay, so we contacted 1.4 million property owners during the period September-October of last year, and that was in respect of 2 million properties. So we currently have an 81% return compliance rate, but more importantly, we have a 91% payment compliance rate. And that means that we have over 200,000 property owners who have paid or put payment arrangements in place, but have not submitted an updated valuation for the property in their LPT return. So, for example, we issued paper forms to some property owners who had not previously engaged with us online, and about 15,000 of those have paid us in full in cash. So that indicates to us that they brought their form to the post office and they paid in full, but they didn't complete the form and they didn't submit their property valuation to Revenue.
Now, can I hold you there? Because accidentally, Owen, my producer here, just said in my ear, I have a guy here on the line who has paid through on post and he hasn't got a bill or something yet. Just maybe flesh out that point again, would you, Katie?
Of course. Okay. So that person that you've spoken about there, so they've paid in full in on post. And I suppose, explaining there that we have 15,000 people who did similar. So they paid in full in on post. But what they didn't do was they didn't submit their valuation to us in Revenue. So to do that, they would have submitted their LPT return. So that person may well think that they have completed or that they have satisfied their LPT obligations in full, but actually they haven't. So what they need to do is they need to submit the return to Revenue. And the easiest way to do it is online, but if you need help, you can call us at 01-7383-626 and somebody can submit the return on your behalf over the phone.
Okay, now, just hold it there for a second. That's 7383, was it 126 you said?
626.
626, right, we'll give that out again for those who want to contact you by phone. Now, I did my return, so I'm a good boy in relation to that. But is what you're saying there, Katie, that it's not sufficient to just let, if you paid your property tax last year based on one valuation, it's not sufficient just to pay your property tax this year unless you actually change your valuation or bring it up to date. Am I correct there?
Yes, so it's a self-declared tax. So you are required to submit the valuation. So similar, we spoke about the people who went to the post office and paid, but we also have many property owners who paid through their wages or their pension. So we also have a significant number of those property owners who have allowed the payments to continue to be deducted into 2022, but again, they have not submitted their updated valuation to Revenue.
So what that means is because there was no change in the valuation, we'll say, of my house and what I was factored in at over the last 3 to 5 years or whatever else, what I have to do now is freshly this year, and everybody else has to do, is confirm the valuation of my house under the new regulations. That could be that it's the same or that my house has gone down in value, but more than likely, of course, houses have gone up in value.
Well, yes. So more than likely properties have gone up in value. But we have done some analysis. So bearing in mind that we have 81% return compliance. So 81% of the 1.4 million property owners, they have, you know, submitted their return and their valuation to revenue. So we know from those that 91% of those who have come back to us have declared their property to be in the same valuation band or one band above or below what we would have estimated. Mm-hmm. So revenue has made an estimate of the LPT liability for each property for 2022. And property owners can view that on their online record. And in the absence of an LPT return, it's the estimated amount that is legally payable by the property owner. So
yeah, just again, sorry for coming across you, but I want to take this step by step for people, because people,
yeah.
I got my letter and it estimated that I owed X amount of euro, but that was based on a property valuation that might no longer have applied. So I went online, I looked at the bands, and it said if my property value is between A and B, I have to pay the following. If my property band is A between C and D, I have to pay the following. So if I assume I was paying under A and B previously, but now, under the new regulations, I must value my property as being based on C and D. So I owe you more money. It could work in reverse. But the key point is that I must go online or I must ring you at revenue to confirm that my property valuation as posted out to me is correct or it needs to be changed. Is that fair?
Exactly, yeah. So you need to, in most cases, what happens is the property owner will confirm the value. But it's important that property owners don't say that, yes, that's correct, I'm paying the correct amount, so then they don't think it's necessary to go on to confirm the value. So it is, you are required to submit your return to revenue, and that's your confirmation of the valuation.
Now, what are you going to do about it if I don't? If for those people who have their property tax deducted through their wages, those people have paid through unpost and think, oh, I've done what was necessary, but haven't either gone online or on the phone to confirm their valuation. What will revenue do next?
I'll explain that to you in one second, but just on the last point, Clem, just to mention that, you know, you were saying there the property valuations have gone up, and they have, but it's important just that people understand that that doesn't necessarily mean that the amount of property tax they'll be paying has also gone up.
Yes.
Okay, so in the most cases, the amount that they will be paying will not go up. And there's two reasons for that. And the first reason is that the basic rate of property tax has reduced, so it almost halved. And the second reason is because the bands to which the rate applied have widened significantly. Okay, so all of that recognises house price inflation, and it means, so I don't want anybody to think that in submitting their valuation to revenue that they'll have an increased liability, because in the majority of instances they absolutely won't. Okay, so that's just to mention that. As regards what will revenue do if somebody doesn't engage with us, so it's clear from the volume of activity that we've experienced over the course of the last number of months leading up to the deadline and since the deadline before November that the vast majority want to do the right thing by filing their return and arranging payment. So since the process of revaluing properties commenced in September, we have had nearly 86,000 items of correspondence, and there's been 375,000 phone calls to our helpline. So yesterday alone, there was over 5,000 calls. So these are property owners who have engaged in the process of filing their LPT return, but for many reasons, they have not completed the process. So, for example, confirmation of ownership might be required, and we will continue to support those property owners to bring themselves into compliance. Now, we have, like I said, we've made an estimate of the LPT liability for each property for 2022, and property owners can view that estimated liability online. In the absence of an LPT return, so the estimated amount becomes legally payable. In the first instance, revenue will engage with the property owner, and in the case of non-engagement or non-compliance, revenue then have a range of collection and enforcement options available to collect any of our taxes due. So it wouldn't be explicit to just property tax.
I understand that, and I also infer from your remarks that, of course, once people are engaging bona fide and are trying to do whatever, that revenue will deal constructively with them. Now, people can go on the website revenue.ie. I'm scrolling across it here for various things, but just to tell you that tomorrow, the 12th of January, is the latest date for paying in full by cash or cheque. The 15th of January, 3 days time, is the latest date for monthly direct debit payments to start and continue on the 15th day of every month. And the 21st of March is the deduction date for an annual debit instruction if you're paying it all in one go. But I think the fairest thing to say to people, Katie, is if you're paying your property tax through your wages or you're paying through Unpost, you still need to go online to the Revenue website, revenue.ie. You'll find it all there in front of you. And you need to confirm your property valuation. There's a little calculator that will help you. It's very straightforward. If you're not confident to do it online, you can ring the Revenue at 01 73 83 626. Anything you want to add, Katie?
Just the reminder that the property tax for 2022 is due by tomorrow, the 12th, for property owners who wish to pay in full by cash, check, debit card or credit card. So if the easiest way to pay is online, My Account, Ross or through the LPT portal, you still have an option to pay through a phased basis. That's through your salary or pension. At this stage, it's not too late, but you may have missed the January payroll. So if you previously paid in full and you wish to transfer over and start paying through payroll or through your pension, you can still do that. But the amount may be spread over the 11 months instead of the 12.
All right, OK. There's lots of options for people then.
Exactly.
But tomorrow is a key date, folks. So hopefully that's clarified that for people paying through Unpost, your process is not completed until you confirm your valuation online. Likewise, for people who are paying through their wages, the process is not completed until you confirm your valuation online or by ringing the Revenue. So again, the website is revenue.ie. Right on the homepage, you'll find all about the local property tax. And that phone number, one more time, is 01 73 83 626. The Revenue will not be wielding the big butter if you're trying to sort this, but engage with them. The ostrich approach of head in the sand just won't work because it won't go away. So you can't ignore it. Katie Clare, Head of Revenue's Local Property Tax Branch. Thank you so much, Katie, for joining us this morning.
Local issues then in the Claymanuth Municipal District, and Social Democrats Councillor Aidan Farrelly joins me on the line now. Aidan, good morning once again.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
Before we get to the MD motions, just briefly, Aidan, I saw you tweeting over the last couple of days in terms of work going on at Dunedee Forest Park. This is impacting local residents or people who'd be, I suppose, frequenters to Dunedee Forest Park. What changes can we expect there?
Yeah, significant changes, Owen, actually. We had a presentation from Quailshe before Christmas, a couple of months back, actually, when we were meeting in person. Seems like a long time ago. And Quailshe confirmed that they had, I suppose, taken a lot of feedback on board from local representations, from councillors and people using the site, that the entrance road specifically was posing huge issues. I'm not sure if you remember, back in the initial couple of lockdowns, we were seeing huge tailbacks of cars outside the forest. And then the actual the quality of the road was really, really poor. There was a lot of issues. So they've done a complete redesign and have now started those works, which look like will take 4 to 5 weeks. I suppose one of the biggest issues for locals at the minute, though, was the lack of notice that was given to people that Quailshe were starting this. I think that was certainly an issue that I've sent back to Quailshe, and just local residents needed a bit more time to prepare because there is now an alternative entrance to the site.
There was a problem with the barrier there as well, Aidan, I understand, and that's something that Quailshe will be looking at.
Well, they addressed that previously. So there is a contactless payment option now where people can pay by debit cards. At one point it was just your Quailshe card or cash only, but they did install a kind of a cashless entry point which was working. But what they're going to do now is actually add a second lane in to really try and help on those, you know, peak time zone to make sure that there's no kind of traffic leading out onto the road, which is, you know, you've got people living on that road, and there was residents who couldn't actually exit their house at times because there was just traffic and congestion at, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays specifically, when people are rightly using what is on our doorstep, one of the nicest sites and the busiest Quailshe site in the country.
Yeah, so it looks as though it'll take 4 or 5 weeks, and residents, I suppose, urge to be patient because the long-term benefits here will definitely help us throughout the course of the summer and so forth, and we'll keep an eye on it. But let's go to the MD meeting then, Aidan, of Friday. And first of all, you wanted the municipal district engineer to be invited to meet on site at Fairmount Cross to discuss safety concerns posed by private parking in bus stops. This is quite a dangerous junction as well, Aidan, as I understand it.
In my opinion, Owen, it's probably one of the most dangerous junctions in the county at this point. And I think in the many times that I've been on this station talking to you, I've mentioned this, and we've been talking about Fairmount Cross. And indeed, that stretch, you look at Alan Wood Cross and Prosperous as well. There's also the main street there. But in Fairmount specifically, I've been speaking with residents who've been trying to exit or enter Fairmount Cross. But the bus stop heading for Prosperous, the sight lines aren't great, and there are reports of trucks and cars pulling into park, maybe to get a 5-minute break or to take a phone call, for example. But what that's doing is actually cutting off the visibility of inbound traffic to Clane from Prosperous. So what we've agreed on is the new engineer is going to meet us on site and try and see if there's ways that we can either encourage the NTA if it's appropriate, but also look at is there signage that we can do. And the council have also confirmed, which is really important, that the existing bus stops that are there are going to be repainted. So there'll be a very clear, distinguished bus stop there, which will hopefully naturally deter people from pulling in and parking there, because there is no other place to do that. But it's really, really hazardous for people trying to enter what is already a really, really dangerous junction.
And in the same area then, Aidan, you wanted the council to add the road from Hatter's Cross in Prosperous to Fairmount Cross, Clane, to the works programme for 2022. What response did you get there?
A positive one. They're going to assess it, Owen, which is good. The road from the graveyard road, essentially, from Prosperous into Fairmount Cross and Clane, and it's coincidence that they kind of come after each other. But there's a lot of bad kind of sections of that road with potholes and different bits. So again, they've agreed to assess it and take a look at that. So hopefully, in the next couple of months, we'll see some sort of a plan put in place there.
All right, good stuff. With those motions brought forward to the recent municipal district meeting of Clane Maynooth, Social Democrats councillor Aidan Farrelly. Thanks indeed for that, Aidan. Cheers.
Have a good one.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Catch up on a few messages then. Clem, could you wish my godfather? I did that earlier actually with Simon, sorry. Not the way of the home, says Maria, in my house. Anyway, that is the wife asking the husband permission for the new bathroom. Maria hates that particular ad. I must actually have a listen to that again to see. I suppose the purpose of ads is to get noticed, and often it can be by annoying people that they get noticed. We all have our favourite, and the ads we absolutely hate as well. I have to say my complete favourite ad, and one that I really laughed out loud every time I saw it over Christmas, was the one about the laughing hyena going to see Santa Claus, and you know, in one sense making the big face being so threatening, and then getting that infectious laugh. Every time I saw that ad, I just burst out laughing. The Laughing Hyena. Was it a Super Value ad, I think, in relation to that? Clem, can you give out that number again, please? This is Mark in Nace. The number for the revenue, Mark, is 01 7383 626. 7383 626 is the one for the revenue. And finally, for the moment, Happy New Year, Clem, to you and all the team. I enjoyed the Club Ballytea Christmas podcast. Longtime Kildare fans Billy Dunn, Michael O'Connor, Joe Fox and Old Dunn have selected the best Kildare football team of the last 50 years, 1971 to 21. Great trip down memory lane, says Jane in Allen. By God, that'll give some controversy as well. Thanks for the message on that. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from the Teachers Union of Ireland President, Leek Slips Martin Marjoram. But first of all, I want to say good morning to James Bollard. James is Kildare Regional Officer of the Irish Second Level Students' Union, ISSU. Good morning, James.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm good. Now, thank you. Your organisation has issued a statement which says that state exams cannot go ahead as planned. Under current plans, students sitting the 2022 state exams would see adjustments and more choice on their exam papers. The union representing second students is calling for what they say. They're calling this a complete disregard for students' best interests. Why so, James?
Well, because we've sent out a survey there. We sent out a survey about across Ireland to see what the general consensus was for students. We sent it there in last week, and it tends to lean toward the hybrid leaving cert. which the main body isn't really pushing for. And we believe a hybrid leaving cert would be better for the students because of the COVID and the rest of it.
But what do you mean by a hybrid leaving cert?
I mean that certain students would be allowed to do the leaving cert as the leaving cert, and certain students would be allowed to use predicted grades.
But how can you have predicted grades, James? Because is that not one of the difficulties this year? I mentioned it on yesterday's programme.
Yeah,
the current cohort of Leaving Cert students did not sit the Junior Cert.
That was one of the worries. Yeah, I saw that there. That's a big problem.
So what kind of specific Leaving Cert would you and your union like to see?
Well, we'd like to see the hybrid Leaving Cert go ahead, but that's mainly to do with the government's position on that.
All right, okay, we'll see what'll happen about that. That's James Bollard. He's calling for a hybrid situation. He hasn't really spelt it out in regards to that. But I'm joined now by Martin Marjoram of the Teachers Union of Ireland. Indeed, the Teachers Union of Ireland represents students in both the second level and third level. Martin, just a quick word on the return of students in the third level. Your union is expressing concerns about that also, aren't they?
That's right, Glenn. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners. It's on a sort of a staggered basis, I suppose, because of different academic calendars, but different higher education institutes are coming back over the next few weeks. And we have some concerns that we had before with regards to things like ventilation. Now temperature is coming forward in classrooms as a bigger issue. And just the incredible transmissibility of the Omicron variant. I mean, people are a bit more concerned even than they were before, and there has to be, I think, a rededication to all of the mitigation measures and improvements, indeed, such as better quality masks provided centrally and good availability of antigen tests, given how central they now are in the detection and the dealing with COVID. So,
do you mean free masks and free antigen tests for students returning to third level?
Indeed, that's our position, and it's already rolling out in some of the universities. I know DCU is already well ahead of the rest of higher education, for instance, on this. Sorry, that seemed to be leading the way. So we'd want to see what they're doing replicated in terms of free availability of things that are really necessary and will keep everybody safe.
And shouldn't that be applicable to second level schools also?
Well, look, we've sought the same level of masks at second level as well. So there's and we've brought forward many of the self-same issues. We're pretty consistent across the piece with regards to just keeping everybody as safe as possible, because there are new concerns, I think, in what's a new phase of dealing with COVID.
Yeah, I just wonder that given the difficulty schools have with budgets as it is and always relying on extra contributions from parents, I don't know, is there a school in the country, Martin, that would have the resources to hand out free antigen tests or free masks unless a government steps in and provides those? And maybe not to just the second level or third level population, there is a case being made that it should be for everybody.
Well, obviously budgeting is part of the solution to everything here, and you're absolutely right, Clem, with regards to the incredible stresses on the education system generally. I mean, our funding for second level education is scandalously low compared to other countries. Only 1.1% of national wealth goes on second level education, compared to 1.9% as the average across the OECD, for instance. We have something similar at the third level as well. Just dreadful underfunding, huge gaps that have made it far more difficult, I think, for Ireland to deal with this crisis than many of our comparator countries.
All right, let's move on from that with the prediction. Hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed, but we wouldn't rely on it that a peak of the current surge will be reached by next week. I'd have my doubts on that, but anyway, we all have to be careful. Martin, the Irish Secondary Students Union has said that the state exams as constructed cannot go ahead as planned. Now, we heard from James Bollard there. He was saying that they want a hybrid approach. He didn't exactly outline what kind of hybrid approach would apply. But for let's start with your union and what you're recommending. Are you standing by that the normal leaving cert would be reintroduced, if I might put that word, this coming summer?
What we want are all of the additional components, the orals, practicals and so on, to go ahead. And there's been work done on that with regard to moving the timing of some of those into the Easter, what's the traditional Easter break, and then the written examinations to go ahead. And we don't think there is either a justification or a capacity, in fact, to offer what has occurred in the last 2 years with regard to a choice last year for accredited grades, or what was done the year before with regard to calculated grades, because of what you mentioned yourself earlier in your interview with James, which was the lack of really important data as part of the standardisation process. Because one of the things that we do need to safeguard throughout, and this is really in the interest of students as well, is the integrity and the credibility of what emerges from any system that's used. And it's been vital in the last 2 years that there has been a bedrock of really solid data, not on an individual student basis at all, but just on how classes have done in the junior cert, and that has helped to level out the obvious and the inevitable variation.
And I understand that point. I understand that point, Martin, in regards to the junior cert. You would have to have a firm, you know, with huge integrity, platform on which to base the accredited grades. And without the junior cert, that is a very, very important omission that can't be applied this year. Now, notwithstanding what you just said about moving oral exams and stuff like that to the holiday period so that they won't impact on class time or on school time, but is it not fair to say that this current cohort of Leaving Cert students have been more impacted than any of the previous 2 years, because they have gone through the whole gamut of closed downs, lockdowns, in school, out of school, and so forth. So when you say a traditional leaving cert this year, I presume you're suggesting there would have to be a lot of flexibility, maybe in more choice, maybe shorter papers. What do you think?
Well, I certainly share all of your the concern you've expressed, and the recognition of the challenges that have been faced by this leaving certificate class. It has been an enormously difficult time, and we, our members, the teachers in the classroom, and we as the Teachers Union of Ireland, we're really committed to doing everything we can, as we have, to keep education itself going, but also to try to find good solutions that are going to help those students in the best way into the future. And you're quite right that the difficulties that these students have faced, that must be recognised with regard to modifications. There are already modifications, wider choice and so on. And I think that needs to be looked at on an ongoing basis, because I don't think any of us were expecting this January perhaps to be quite so troublesome as it is. There's obviously some absence at the moment. We hope, as you rightly said, that prediction with regard to where the peak of this wave comes will be very soon. We get back to something like normality. But we're conducting our own, or we will be conducting our own survey of members with regard to what's needed on modifications to the examinations, because that's something we saw successfully last year. We argued very, very hard for the correct modifications to be there for the Leaving Cert examinations that were put in place. And we will be continuing that conversation in our discussions this year.
All right, good news. On that positive note, indeed, I know the unions, the TUI Martin, of which Martin is president, and the ASTI, we've had all the presidents on over the Christmas period, and indeed Michael Gillespie as well, who's General Secretary of the TUI, both he and Martin, of course, being good league slip men. They might start taking up football with the local club, who knows, this particular year. But yeah, there's huge concern. 30,000 second level students have replied to that union's ISSU's survey. So they are worried. They have been hugely impacted. But I think it's fair to say, and we could assure those students, that the ASTI and TUI will be advocating strongly on their behalf over the next couple of months in regards to the modifications required for this summer's Leaving Cert. Martin, we'll talk to you again in the future. Happy New Year to you, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, good morning on that note. Now, on an email from Eilish, who sent this in, she says, a belated thank you to you, Clem, Owen and Kira, for your friendly chat and banter in the morning, and to wish you a very happy new year. As I live on my own, it is good to hear the interactions between you, and when the programme is over, I also really like to hear you say that we'll do it all again tomorrow. Thank you again and a happy new year. And I'll tell you one thing. Yes, we will do it again tomorrow in regards to that. Now, Owen, I want to go to the vacant properties feature. And you don't have that at the moment, and neither do I for the moment, for the minute. Neither at whatever. But we have a statement from Derrinstown in regards to reports that 75 staff were let go from there recently. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, now we had been contacted by, I suppose, somebody in the area of Derrinstown in relation to a possibility of redundancies being made. So we took that up and got in contact with the company and inquired whether or not this was true. We heard there was figures of 35 people being let go. We said to them to issue a statement in relation to it, and I had also been in touch to them with them before Christmas to provide a statement, but received no response to that. I said KFM now understands that approximately 35 people, particularly stud grooms and assistant stud grooms, have been made redundant along with some office and security staff, and asked for that statement. The response that we got: the full review of our operation remains in progress and will not be concluded until later this year. We are nearing the conclusion of the first phase, details of which will be confirmed in the coming weeks. As has been the case throughout the process, we continue to have confidential dialogue with our employees. And there ends the statement from Derrinstown Stud in relation to those redundancies.
Well, our information came from a person who describes himself as an employee and is adamant that we can rely on those numbers, that 75 people have been made redundant. We heard reports about that in the run-up to Christmas as well, so we'll keep an eye on that. Now, Owen, you sounded there like the fella that comes into school in the morning, and Owen Beattie, where's your homework? I left it at home, sir. Well, I didn't leave my homework at home because I have the video.
You were able to find it. See, people couldn't hear that. I was shouting in Clem's ear, haven't a clue where that is. But
right,
you have
okay,
it,
but I have it, of course, Owen. And in regards, these were figures given to us by Councillor Bill Clear. The number of dwellings in housing stock, in, including NHBs as they're called, in County Kildare, this is local authority housing, 5,355. Vacant properties, 91 of them require major refurbishing. Minor works on 61. Awaiting allocation, 3 vacant properties, if you don't mind. That's only 2.8% of the total stock is available. Vacant houses completed since November. In Athy, 5. Selbridge, Leixlip, none. Kildare, Newbridge, 13. Clanmaynooth, 3. Naas, 10. Vacant houses added since November. 2 vacant houses have been added in Athy to bring the total to 14. No, this is, sorry, in the county. 2 in Athy, 1 in Selbridge, Leixlip. One, imagine. Just one vacant house added to the list. Kildare, Newbridge, 4. Clanmaynooth, 2. And Naas, 5. A total of 14. So we look at Athy then, and there are 15 properties there requiring major works, with minor works recorded in 8. 1 in Castledermot, 1 in Ballytor. Minor works, 2 in Athy, Ballytor 1, Nurney 1, Calverstown 1, Castledermot 2 and Narramore 1. In Athy, 13 of the properties require major works. We're talking about vacant properties here now, right? Selbridge, Leixlip, requiring major work, 2 properties in Selbridge, 2 in Leixlip. Minor, 2 in Selbridge, 1 in Leixlip. Then moving on to Kildare, Newbridge, there are 31 properties there requiring major work, 21 requiring minor work. So major works, 7 in Newbridge, Kilcullen 2, Kildare 13, Monastrevin 2, Rathangan 2, Corra 2, Suncroft 1, Corra 1, Calverstown 1. Requiring minor works, Newbridge 6, Rathangan 2, Kildare 6, Monastrevin 4, Suncroft 1 and Maddenstown 2. 31 properties in Kildare and Newbridge require major works and 21 minor works. We're talking about vacant properties now. In Clanmaynooth, 20 properties require major works, 17 minor works. The major works are required in Kildare 1, Kilcock 2, Kilmeag 3, Prosperous 2, Derrin Turin 2, Rathcoffey 2, Clane 4, Strafford 1, Maynooth 3, and requiring minor works, Carbery 2, Kildare 2, Kilmeag 1, Prosperous 9, Robertstown 1, Kilcock 1 and Clane 1. And finally to Nain, Nace, where 21 local authority houses require major works, 12 require minor works. Major works, 1 in Ballymore or Eustace, 11 in Nace, Salins 8, Kill 1. And minor works, 5 in Nace, Salins 5, Kill 2. And to give you the overall number again, the total number of housing stock in the county, 5,355, of which 91 are vacant properties requiring major refurbishing and 61 are vacant properties requiring minor works.